You're listening to Health Radio.
Mommy, my tummy hurts.
Mom, I don't feel so good.
Mommy, I love you.
Oh, Mom and Dad, it's time to get all of your questions answered for free. It's Healthy Children, the talk show just for you with expert guests provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. Now, here's our favorite mom, Melanie Cole.
Hi, my guest is Dr. Cindy Christian. She's the director of A Safe Place, the Center for Child Protection and Health at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. So to follow up on what we had been discussing when parents get frustrated, things that we can do when kids are throwing a tantrum. It's hard to ignore. You said to ignore them, and that's not so easy.
There are certain places where it's hard. It's really hard to ignore them, right? So if you're in, like, the shopping mall and everybody's staring at you, then, you know, you can't just, like, leave the child on the floor and walk away. But if you're at home, you can turn to the child and say, I'll talk to you when you're done, you know, screaming. And then you can just ignore the child. You really can. I mean, it might be piercing to your ears. But eventually, if the child is unsuccessful in their screaming and tantruming, they're going to try a different kind of approach with you. So it's when we really kind of feed into their tantrums that they learn that their tantrums are working and that they're going to get the attention that they want from their tantrums, and sometimes get what they want when they're having a tantrum. And that's really not what we want to teach the children, right? What we want to teach them is self-control and how to respond in a way that's different the next time so that they do get what it is that they want. So, you know, part of, you know, discipline is really teaching children, and part of discipline is punishing them sometimes, right, giving them some negative reinforcement. And there are all different kinds of punishment you can give children. But really what we want to do ultimately is to teach them, to discipline them, to help them to gain some self-control and to learn how it is that they should behave so that they really can get their needs met.
Do you punish a child for throwing a tantrum? Even if it's at home, suppose it's at home and it's bedtime and you know they're tired and they just start to pitch one.
No, I don't know that I would punish the child. I would...
If you don't stop this tantrum, you are not going to be able to play any video games tomorrow or something along those lines.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's okay. That's part of disciplining them. So I think you have to think about kind of what the scenario is. So if, for example, the child's exhausted and you know the child's exhausted and they're having a tantrum, you can say, you know what, I know that you're exhausted and we'll talk about what it is that you want when you stop screaming. Let them stop screaming. Sometimes they'll scream themselves to sleep. And if they don't, I mean, I think you can offer some, you know, forward-leaning punishments, but then what you need to do is you need to follow up on those punishments. So you can't start, offering punishments that then when they stop screaming eventually don't occur, because then you really have not been consistent in what your message is to the child. And we're all guilty of that, you know.
We certainly are, and sometimes, you know, we say things that we don't mean to children. And in my opinion, verbal abuse in some ways is worse than physical, because children, boy, the effect of words, that old sticks and stones can break, is so untrue, because the effect of words can change so much about how a child feels.
It is. And one of the greatest things that parents can do for their children is catch them being good. That's what we like to say. You know, all too often in our very busy days, you know, the kids are behaved, they're behaved, you're fine, you're going about your business. And then when they misbehave, then they get your attention. And they're, you know, children want attention. So if they're not getting positive attention, they'll take negative attention over no attention. So really what you want to do is you always want to reinforce the good with kids and catch them being fabulous, so that when they get the negative reinforcement, they know that that's not what they want. They really want that positive reinforcement that they've gotten all along and that they're going to continue to get. That's what we all crave. You know, I don't even know that many adults who thrive on negative attention, right? I think we all thrive on positive attention and positive reinforcement, and that's the way we'd want to behave with our children.
Well, as a parent, you're giving me a lot to think about, and I hope you're giving parents listening the same, because, we do tend to be in our busy lives, not give our children that attention for being so sweet and so good and making a pretty picture and doing all of those things, but then they throw a tantrum and right away you lose it. So it's like there needs to be that more positive, catch them being good. It's a wonderful bit of advice. Now, there's been some media attention on obesity. Certainly childhood obesity is a huge problem in this country. Dr. Christian, so what do you think about child welfare stepping in the obesity situation?
So I do a lot of work with the Philadelphia Department of Human Services and our child welfare agency. And in fact, part of my time I spend as their first medical director. So I'm really very familiar with kind of issues of childhood obesity and child welfare. And, there have been a number of commentaries and papers in leading medical journals, even like the Journal of the American Medical Association, that have really kind of talked about this issue of when does childhood obesity become a child welfare issue. And in Philadelphia, we have a significant obesity problem, just as we do in every city, really, throughout this country. I mean, childhood obesity, as you know, is a public health problem. And so when families and parents started hearing about kind of that intersection of child welfare and obesity, in Philadelphia, some parents got very concerned that child welfare would start intervening in their families simply because their children were obese or overweight, or that the child welfare agency would remove children from their households because they were obese. And so we've done a number of things to try to alleviate that concern, at least here in Philadelphia. Although I will tell you that the child welfare agency in Philly and around the country, child welfare agencies get calls, get referrals to the agency because of children who are significantly or morbidly obese. And they come to us in a couple of ways. The first way they kind of come to the attention of a child welfare agency would be if I were a pediatrician in practice and I was seeing a child who was significantly overweight and I was doing everything that I could think of to help the child and help the family recognize the long-term health consequences for this child and short-term health consequences for the child, and I wasn't getting anywhere, and I was getting really frustrated because I knew that this child had serious health factors or health problems that were associated with this obesity, I might get so frustrated as a doctor that I kind of throw my hands up in the air and call child welfare. On the other hand, child welfare also gets called because some children do have life-threatening medical problems associated with their obesity. And when children's health problems really become life-threatening and the family cannot help that child lose the weight that they need in order to alleviate that life-threatening health problem, sometimes child welfare gets involved in those cases. And so,
And what can they do? I mean, it really, especially with young children, Dr. Christian, it is the parents who are buying the food. It's the parents who are stocking the pantry and the fridge.
Yep.
And if they're, it's the parents who are letting them sit in front of the video games and eat this junk. However, some is cultural. Some people, really, with the messages in the media, some people just don't know.
Mm-hmm. So I think that this, when we talk about a public health problem.
We just have about a minute and a half left.
Yep. Okay. We need to think about this from all different directions. So it's what can a child do? What can a parent do? What can a family do? What can a neighborhood do? So, for example, in Philadelphia, just as an example, for families who get SNAP, who get assistance with food stamps, if they buy $5 worth of vegetables and fruits at some of our farmers markets, they get $2 extra worth of free fruit and vegetables. So try to make it easy. A lot of our little corner markets are now having produce and vegetables and fruits right up front, in front of the potato chips and the cheese doodles and the junk foods for kids. So we can do things at all different levels. And, for kids, it is we want to get them active. We want families to get active. And, it's not only one child. It's a family affair, right? So we want the whole family to get active and involved and begin to eat in healthier ways and really start considering what they're giving kids. And if they could just do one little thing, one of the things that I like to say is to eat your juice, which means that if you have the option of drinking a glass of apple juice or eating an apple, eat an apple. Instead of a glass of orange juice, eat an orange. You get the fiber, okay? You have less calories from that, and it's healthier.
It certainly is, and what a great message. It is a family affair. It's a community affair. It's neighbors getting involved with neighbors, offering up your good advice with nutrition and maybe saying, hey, let's all go for a bike ride. That's how you do it as a community to keep our children healthier. This is Melanie Cole for Healthy Children, the talk show for parents. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics, and this is Health Radio. So thanks so much for listening.